The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading flash briefings for multiple sclerosis. Here's an article by Grace Frank. BioNews Clinical will bring trials into continuum of MS care. A new service, BioNews Clinical, is seeking to bring more patients into relevant clinical trials by helping all involved, scientists, pharmaceutical companies, people with diseases, regard these studies as part of continuing care. Today, what happens is that the conversation about patients participating in a clinical trial is not part of the routine conversation that patients and physicians have. Those two things are basically disconnected. Marcella DeBita, PhD, president of BioNews Clinical, said in an interview with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. To me, facilitating the connection of patients to ongoing clinical trials that are right for them is really a continuum in their care conversation in an ideal world, said DeBita, a molecular oncologist who more than 10 years ago moved from basic into clinical research. She started with the Harvard Clinical Research Institute, now the BAME Institute, and soon after, Science 37. Both organizations engaged in carrying out studies more open to patients and their particular concerns and needs. The reality, she added, is that trials too often are presented to people as if that is their last choice. BioNews Clinical's mission is to change that, helping to advance the clinical research essential to bringing new treatments to patients, especially those with rare diseases, for whom few, if any, disease-modifying medications exist, and those chronically ill and dependent on therapies. Its September 7th launch involved a pilot run into conducting an ongoing study in multiple sclerosis and another in idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, with patients who, through surveys, expressed interest in such research and being part of it. A pilot in myasthenia gravis, a rare neuromuscular disease, is up next, with other rare and chronic diseases to follow. Ongoing trials in this service, for now, will be those based in the U.S. Gradually, BioNews Clinical will open to trials in all the rare and chronic disease communities that its parent company, BioNews Services, publisher of Multiple Sclerosis News Today, fosters through its disease-specific and free platforms. These platforms range from news articles by science writers and columns by patients and caregivers, to forums, social media, podcasts, and informational pages devoted to approved or experimental treatments and various disease aspects. More global trials will be included eventually because, especially in rare diseases, sufficient numbers of patients are difficult to recruit in a tightly defined location, and size is necessary to support statistical, reproducible confidence in trial results. Patients who voice interest in trial participation through surveys run by BioNews Clinical are selectively matched with those brought to it by sponsors, whether pharmaceutical companies or independent researchers and institutes, by DeBita and Liz Bernstein, a patient engagement specialist. Typically, trials recruit by a sponsor contracting with a vendor to find patients. It's the narrative, "Oh, I need you, therefore I look for you," DeBita said. BioNews, in contrast, had already brought 2 million people together across the diseases it covers, she said. The communities already existed. The dialogue was initiated. BioNews Clinical is the aftermath of a reality that is alive and thriving. For the MS trial, matching involves a closer look at the 2,264 respondents who identified as patients, specifically the 97.58% expressing a willingness to be contacted for a relevant clinical trial. The enrollment process itself is largely handled by a trial's sponsors, as BioNews does not collect personal health records. People have the right to decline participation at every step, beginning with an initial call from BioNews Clinical to determine continued interest. A similar process is underway for the IPF study. of the 632 survey respondents who reported they have pulmonary fibrosis, 98.7% voiced an interest in being contacted about possibly taking part in a trial. BioNews Clinical is still in an initial phase, DeBita said, with learning and growth primarily being dictated by the results we will obtain in the months ahead. But the workflow is working, she added. The reason we call it a pilot effort is because we want to understand what is our ability to convert those leads and patients who say, yes, I want to be connected, into patients who are successfully enrolled in a study. DeBita sees three main issues as barriers to participation: basic awareness of relevant trials underway, study protocols that too often are not updated, overly restrictive, and difficult for patients to understand, and logistics, such as on-site visits requiring travel that people who are ill cannot easily make. She bases these assumptions on her experiences with patient communities, speaking of her surprise when an MS patient, during an advisory group meeting with Harvard, named highway driving as a top obstacle to continued trial participation. I was sure I was going to hear about spinal taps or pain, DeBita said. But this person talked of having had a flare due to anxiety and sleeplessness caused by the requirement of driving to reach the clinical site, given the disease's physical and cognitive toll. And she bases them on insights voiced by people with rare and chronic diseases who are part of BioNews. A number share their trial experiences and hopes on the patient community section in the service's website. We reach nearly 90% of existing rare disease patient populations, DeBita said of BioNews. Nobody else does that. An important future goal for BioNews Clinical is to expand beyond recruitment and help sponsors in designing trials, whether traditional or ideally hybrid studies, that mix on-site visits with virtual contact, that are more aware of patients' needs and wants. When we design clinical trials, they make perfect scientific sense, but they can really fail to take into consideration what patients can actually do, DeBita said. BioNews Clinical currently offers those working on trials an a la carte menu of sorts through its sponsors section, but hopes eventually to incorporate patients, their disease journeys, experiences, and priorities into the very design of trials. Such a move serves all involved, DeBita said, noting that published studies into trials' financial burden, while limited in number, have found significantly fewer protocol adjustments needed when patient views are involved. There are figures attached to what happens every day that a drug is delayed getting to market, she said. If we are able to decrease the number of protocol amendments, it means that trials are completed sooner, which means a drug is approved and goes to market faster, which means the total cost for development is a lot lower. This undertaking, while central to positioning clinical trials as part of the continuum of patient care, is a ways off, DeBita noted. Emphasis now is on the pilot efforts with ongoing trials. Still, we're looking at how we can or how we might involve patients in everything that is related to trials design, she said, so we can design better science.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by Ed Tobias, MS Wire. Three things I discovered at my 50th college reunion. My wife and I recently returned from a long weekend in upstate New York, where we attended my college reunion. It was a biggie, my 50th, and had been delayed a year due to COVID-19. The sun was shining, and it felt like spring for the 3 days we were there, which is unusual for Ithaca, New York, in October. As students, we used to say there are only three seasons in Ithaca: winter, July, and August. The fact that we could walk the campus in shorts and golf shirts made the weekend extra special. Of course, I don't walk, except for short distances, using two canes and a Bioness L300 Go functional electronic stimulator to counter my foot drop, Usually, I ride my lightweight scooter. While riding it around campus and in town, I discovered a few things I didn't learn in the classroom. Good friends will always be good friends. I suppose I shouldn't have been surprised by the way my old friends treated me, but I was. Nobody seemed shocked by my mobility problems, nor did anyone express false concern or pity about my health. Instead, we picked up as if we had just returned from summer vacation, swapping stories and sharing inside jokes. Some friends who knew about my MS went out of their way to try to make things easier for me. My buddy Bob, who lives near the college, had a group of us over for brunch and somehow managed to obtain a ramp to bridge three steep steps at the entrance to his home. I didn't use it because it was too steep and narrow for me to walk or ride on. Bob understood immediately. He must have made a significant effort to obtain the ramp, but he didn't seem at all bothered that I didn't use it. We can't always get there from here. Some places we expect to be accessible, especially in a socially enlightened college town like Ithaca, may not be. Some of my classmates helped me in and out of a diner venue that was barely accessible by lifting me, while still on my scooter, over a gully in order to reach the dining area. Why hadn't the planners at the college realized that a series of steps as long and large as those in the first Rocky movie would be impossible for someone with limited mobility to handle? But I still know where I'm going. Even after 50 years and a lot of changes to the town, I can still find my way around pretty well. The McDonald's is still where I remembered it, on Route 13, several billion burgers later. I easily found the campus fire station on West Green Street, where I lived as a volunteer during my senior year. No GPS needed. And the State Diner is still on State Street, of course. That diner, which used to be open 24/7, was the scene of many late-night meals of eggs, overlight, hash browns, and coffee. It's still open 7 days a week, but from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., sort of like me. Despite the cognitive issues that many of us with MS face, it was reassuring to discover that I could still get around my college town without the help of Waze or my wife. It was disappointing to discover that accessibility isn't a given, but learning that old friendships don't disappear with time was priceless. I think I already knew that, though.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.